Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, senores y señores del Brasil and UFC fans watching around the world, live from the sold-out HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's time!
Hi, welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And Super Bowl week is finally over. We have a champion, Denver Broncos, pulling it out last night, 24-10. Great defensive showing, and was something kind of unexpected from both of us. And I know we'll get into that later, but what do you think of the whole the game? It was kind of a little lackluster to me, but that's what happens when you have some great defensive play in there.
Yeah, it wasn't very exciting, with the exception of a few plays. It was kind of ugly, but that's what Denver needed it to be if they were going to win. So, yeah, they got it done.
Yeah, they did. It was something, Peyton rides out on a high note, assuming he's going to retire now, but... yeah, the Broncos' defense was all over the place all game long, and I know we'll get into that in a second, so I figured we could kind of go over our horrible picks that we had last week and then get into the Super Bowl after we talk a little bit about Blake Griffin as well.
Yeah. yeah, these picks, they weren't very good. I guess let's just get right into it. We had the Oklahoma City Thunder and Golden State Warriors in a big matchup in the Western Conference. The Thunder were looking to prove something, and I mean, in a lot of ways, they did. They played a lot better than Cleveland and San Antonio did against Golden State recently, but just couldn't get that win.
Yeah, they were down. They got down 18 early. I thought they were in for one of those blowout games, but they never gave up. They have two of the best players in the league, and it really showed. They were able to get it even down to 1 point late in the game. But a loose ball that Steven Adams couldn't find, and Draymond Green eventually picked it up for the easy lay-in. I think that was kind of the turning point in the game. And the Warriors Steph Curry kind of struggled shooting the ball, but he got it done late in the game. Something really surprising that I saw was the Thunder, Enes Kanter shot 5 of 6 in the fourth quarter, but the rest of the Thunder shot 2 of 13, and that's just not going to get it done against a team like Golden State. But I definitely think that this shows that the Thunder can hang with them. And if we get to see that matchup in the playoffs, it's going to be very, very exciting.
Yeah. And just things for the Thunder, if they're going to be able to beat Golden State, they're going to need more from everybody else. I mean, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are great for putting up a lot of points, but they really just needed a little bit of help in this game. Oklahoma City's bench was actually outscored 42-17 by Golden State's. and
14 of those were from Enes Kanter.
Right, exactly. And yeah, like you said, Steph Curry just turned something on late, especially really late there at the end. He made like three shots and had two assists, and you had Kevin Durant miss a couple threes. Just ended up being that difference after the comeback. But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting matchup. Hopefully we'll get to see it again.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think we are gonna see that matchup. I know the Thunder will have to get through the Spurs in the second round if the seeding stay the way they are right now, and I think they're gonna be able to do it. And I think we'll be able to see that matchup. And I think that matchup right there will be basically the NBA Finals.
Oh yeah, I mean,
one thing I really wanted to talk about was just Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
He had 8 points and 3 rebounds in that game. I don't think he had a blocked shot. He really needs to step it up. He hasn't really grown too much as a player over the last couple seasons. I know he had the injury last year, may still be feeling the effects from it, but the Thunder are really going to need him to be their third best player, or at least their fourth best player, and show it out on the court, because the Thunder, as good as Westbrook and Durant are, they need some help around them. I also think that Cameron Payne, he just had a bad game, but I really like what I've seen from him so far in the season as a rookie. He plays some good defense. He can steal the ball. He usually makes good shots. He takes good shots, and he's a really good passer. So I think that the Thunder, they just didn't have enough guys that stepped up in the game besides KD and Russ, and they're really going to need that if they want to beat Golden State, which I think they can, but it's going to be very, very tough.
Yeah, and it tells you a lot that how close they were able to keep it and how close they even were to winning with just Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook playing well and scoring. But yeah, it's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, most definitely. I three more times. Next matchup is February 27th, so I know I'll be ready for that and be watching. I kind of want to see how the game will go when they go to OKC. A really tough place to play, just like Golden State is. So should be very interesting how those last three matchups go down here at the end of the season.
Yeah, and of course the Warriors are, of course, chasing history. They after that game, they tied the best record through 50 games in the NBA season, so going to be having to check on that too.
Yeah, and 41 straight home wins. They're only 3 away from the all-time record, and just what a season they've been having. It's just been remarkable the way they've been able to just dominate the league right now.
Definitely. All right, I guess our next one, I guess, go from a team who is playing really well to a team who's not playing so well. Philadelphia 76ers played the Nets, and we picked this game just because. And the Sixers won, so good for them.
Yeah, they did. Ever since Ish Smith got there, they picked up 6 of their, do they have 8 or 7 wins now? I think they have 8 now.
8.
Since they got him, he's won 7 of their games. So, Ish Smith for MVP.
yeah, I don't have a whole lot on the game, but he did get 22 from Jahlil Okafor, so you gotta like that. If you're, believe in that the Sixers are just waiting and picking their moment to strike and start to compete again.
Yeah, I think we're still a ways away from that. Still need some backcourt help and a lot of other things, but they definitely have a good piece to build around in Jahlil Okafor, who has played really well all season. I know he was leading points per game by all rookies, but Karl-Anthony Towns has had some great games the past couple weeks. He may have surpassed him point, but Jahlil Okafor, definitely a good pick for the Sixers finally.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely something to look forward to for them. I guess since the other picks we had were Super Bowl related, what was your upset pick?
My upset was, I actually got a game off. I picked Southern Illinois to beat Wichita State. Wichita State won 76-55, but 2 days later they went and lost to Illinois State, and that's who I meant to pick, was Illinois State over Wichita State.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Southern Illinois has been one of the top teams in the Missouri Valley all year, but they just could not hang with Wichita State. And Wichita State is still the cream of the crop in that league, and I don't see that ending anytime
soon. Except they can't hang with Illinois State.
Exactly.
It's a vicious circle.
It is. Man.
All right. I thought Michigan was going to beat Michigan State, but that didn't happen because Michigan State is just on a tear where they're hitting a ridiculous amount of threes. They've actually hit 47 threes in their last three games. It was 44-28 at half, mostly because of Bryn Forbes, who had 23 in the first half on 7 threes. He ended up with 8 in the game. And Michigan State as a team was 14-22. Just kind of hard to compete with that if they're hitting shots all over the place. And Denzel Valentine continues his year. He was actually just short of a triple-double, 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. So watch out for Sparty.
Yeah, Spartans are starting to find that rhythm again that they had at the beginning of the year. I think losing Denzel Valentine for those 3 weeks really kind of put a hold on them building, and now they're really starting to put it together again. And this Michigan State team is pretty scary. I think one thing that really hurt Michigan was the fact that Caris LeVert couldn't play. He's been dealing with injuries the last two seasons, and the Wolverines just really need to get him healthy, because I don't think they're going to go very far or do too much without him.
Yeah, definitely. They're a better player with him on the court. And I'm pretty sure their coach said as much after the game.
Yeah, he did.
How do we look? We were both, 1-4? Is that what we were? Because we were both wrong in the Super Bowl and wrong on the MVP?
Yep, 1-4. We went 0-1 on our upsets. On the season, I'm 10-14, 2-2 on upsets. You're 13-11, and 2-2 on upsets. So, but yeah.
Wow.
Not a good week.
No. We'll try and bounce back, though.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row that I've went 1-4 down, so.
Wow. Well, all right, let's get to this here Super Bowl. Just never really felt right, at least for the Panthers. A lot of things just seemed to go wrong. It seemed just one thing after another. They kind of let Peyton Manning dink and dunk his way down the field on that first drive, but we're able to tighten up on that, only give up that field goal. And then their offense, I just was never comfortable. It looked like they were worried about the pressure before it had even started to come, and it just seemed to throw everything off. And you could couple that with things like Jericho Cotchery bobbling that ball, which, I mean, should have been a catch even after the bobble, and you got to get a call go against you. You challenge that, you lose that challenge, then later you have to burn your other challenge. Just nothing going right for them, I felt, at least early on. What were your initial reactions?
Well, my initial thoughts in the game were basically Cam Newton came out. I thought he was a little over, I don't know the word, overhyped. He was just putting a lot behind his balls. He was overthrowing guys at the beginning, kind of settled in. His receivers couldn't catch it. The one interception by T.J. Ward went off of the receiver's hands right into him. There were a couple more drops in there. That pass Jericho Cotchery should have been clean. I think that the receivers finally caught up to him in the worst time. I also think Cam held the ball a couple times too long when he stood back there in the pocket. And the offensive line struggled blocking Von Miller, who was just an animal all game, and he has been all playoffs. And he was deservedly the MVP of the Super Bowl, and he really won that game for him. I mean, the Broncos offense, besides that opening drive, did nothing really to put their team into position to win. It was all their defense, and they got the defensive touchdown. They got the turnover that led to the touchdown at the end. And they also got another turnover that led to a field goal, had put them in field goal range. And yeah, it was the story of the day or night was that Broncos defense. And Peyton Manning now seemingly going to ride off in the sunset with the Super Bowl victory. And yeah. Congrats to him. Congrats to the Broncos. I know a lot of people were doubting him coming in, and they deserved it. They took it.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, just going back, Von Miller. Yeah, he was just a beast. Just 2.5 sacks. He had the strip, of course. Cam Newton landed on the ball and ended up recovering the ball in the end zone. That obviously, if things were bad for the Panthers at first, it that definitely changed everything. It definitely gave the Broncos all the momentum they needed to ride out the victory like they have so many times before. Just get ahead, get some sort of defensive score, and let our offense, you know, do the absolute minimum, and we'll take care of it. And it was classic. Kind of frustrating, but no, yeah, the Panthers just, I don't know if they just refused to adjust or just, but the person who I think deserves the most credit is probably Wade Phillips. John Fox, like, obviously had all that talent on that defense, but seemed to not be able to unlock it. Wade Phillips obviously has been a great defensive coordinator for a long time, and I think this was his first victory in a Super Bowl as at least a coordinator. So that's, I mean, that's kind of hard to believe as long as he's been around, as successful as he's been. But good for him, really. I'm happy for him. I guess as much as Peyton Manning, but yeah, as for Peyton Manning, whatever, just go retire now. I'm done. It didn't change anything for me. He was always going to be one of the greatest ever anyway, so that's fine. Now it's just something Eli can't hold over his head anymore, which I'm sure you saw Eli in his face.
Yeah, I did. He looked pretty dejected. I don't know if it was because of that reason or what it was. Maybe he was just in shock, because I don't want to believe that he actually didn't want his brother to win that game. But yeah, it was kind of a weird look. But I also I thought the biggest play in that game was that punt return. I can't remember if it led to a Broncos field goal or if that was what they scored a touchdown on. Everybody thought he called a fair catch on the Panthers. He did not, and he took it 61 yards, actually a Super Bowl record. And yeah, that really, I think that was just kind of a gut punch. That play.
That definitely took it to a new level. It was.
Yeah.
At that point, their defense, Carolina's defense had kind of rebounded. They were getting stops. But another play that I thought was also very momentum killing was after they had managed to score on the Jonathan Stewart dive, I guess, if you will. But they ended up getting the ball back, and then they ran that play that looked like it was going to be some sort of wide receiver pass. Ted Ginn was going to throw the ball, but the Broncos defense was able to kind of blow that play up, and they ended up losing I don't know how many yards, and then you're back into a second, third, and long, and the drive's completely stalled and over. So anytime it looked like they were going to get something going, the Panthers two fumbles lost and like four total fumbles. Like just not their night.
Yeah, it wasn't. And on that punt return, if the Panthers know he doesn't call a fair catch there, that could have been a huge momentum swing. It's likely he gets lit up, maybe fumbles the ball, maybe the Panthers get it back. But the Panthers just were not.
At the very least, you've got Peyton Manning on a long field again, with the exception of that first drive, he couldn't take that ball the length of the field.
Yeah, he couldn't, and I think that could have been a huge turning point in the game. And I also think the Mike Tolbert fumble was huge because the Panthers were starting to get something together driving down the field. And and
that would have been a first down also.
Yep, and it kind of just took the wind out of sails there. So, yeah.
I also felt like Josh Norman got his hands on a couple balls that he should have been able to bring in. They weren't exactly the easiest plays, but if you're Josh Norman, you've gained this reputation this year. You're supposed to be able to pull one of those in, especially Peyton Manning.
Well, that's why he's a
defensive back. Serving him up like he did. Yeah, but come on.
No,
defensive rookie of the year, Marcus Peters.
The thing with Josh Norman is he had four interceptions this year, but I mean he had a lot of passes that he did drop like that. I mean he doesn't have the best hands; he's just a great cover guy. So I gotta kind of lay off of him a little bit. The Panthers played really good defense the whole game. It was that the Broncos just played much better defense and made those plays that should have been made. But I think if the Panthers would have won that game, Coney Ealy would have won the MVP. He was magnificent for the Panthers there.
Right. Oh, no, that I mean, he had three sacks, which is crazy, but crazy enough. But, I mean, that interception was just unreal. He, jumped up and got it with the one hand and – then shoot, for a second I thought he had a shot to run it all the way back. I mean, it was, oh man, like that could have been a huge moment, a huge play, to at least try to maybe swing things in Carolina's direction. But yeah, no, he definitely played better than anybody, at least for the Panthers.
Yeah, most definitely, and I don't think Panthers are going to be going anywhere. I know some people are talking if this was kind of a one-year thing, this was their chance, but they're a pretty young team. Their best players are 27 or younger, and I think they'll be right back here. And I really think that this loss is going to only help Cam Newton, and we could see him right back here next season.
I think they're still gonna be competitive, or they're at least gonna making it back to the playoffs. When you've got players on defense like that, if they can keep Josh Norman, Luke Kuechly is going to be a force for probably the rest of his career. But yeah, there's talent all over that defense, and if you're going to get Kelvin Benjamin back, maybe you've got, hopefully now you've got a more developed Devin Funchess, and bring back Greg Olsen, and the weapons are still there. They're going to be around a while, especially with Cam.
Yeah, I think they need to get a little help in the defensive backfield, just some depth, because they did have a lot of injuries to their corners and safeties this season. Some depth back there, and maybe some offensive line help. And, I think they're in really good shape going forward. I guess that can kind of lead us into what happened post-game and what's pretty much been the talk today, and that's Cam Newton just kind of taking the loss not very well, ended up walking out of his press conference. I don't think it was anything from the reporters. I think it was the fact that he could overhear Chris Harris talking about how he can't throw the football. I think it's a mistake that the NFL actually had the losing team being interviewed while the winning team's being interviewed at the same time. I don't know why you can't split that up. Let the winning team celebrate, talk to the losing team, then have the winning team come in. I definitely think he should have handled that better, but he is very competitive, and you know he didn't want to lose that game. People are calling him a crybaby, things like that, but the guy went out and congratulated the Broncos after the game. There's a picture of him going up to Peyton, has a huge smile on his face, giving him love, and I just think that press conference just was something that the haters are going to just grab onto. He should have known that anything he does at this point, people are just going to use for fuel, and I think he should have stayed in there, but hey, I don't think it's that big of a deal for him to do. I think he'll learn from it. He's still only 26 years old. He'll get more mature from this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you got to chalk this up to you just lost the Super Bowl. Came all this way, had this fantastic season, won MVP, won Offensive Player of the Year. Like he went 15-1, got home field advantage. Won the first two games of the playoffs pretty easily. He just did everything except the goal, the main goal, win the final game. It's got to be tough to accept, especially immediately afterwards. But he probably could have handled it better. The media had been kind of getting to him throughout the week as it was. I guess it's better that he walked out than maybe gone off on somebody or said something that he would regret. So I guess there could be a positive in that. But, ultimately it's going to be a learning experience. I mean, he's still young. People are still going to put everything he does under a microscope, and he's probably just going to get better about that, especially when, it's today. People aren't talking so much about, oh, the Broncos defense was just insane, or Peyton Manning gets to go out on top. People are talking about Cam and how Cam reacted to the game. That's how big Cam Newton is right now and what he means to the NFL, as opposed to Peyton Manning, even though Peyton, as great as Peyton Manning is, we're talking about Cam today, and people are reacting to that instead of the game itself.
Yeah, I agree. It's he's definitely, I think he's the future face of the NFL. And I don't know. I don't really mind it that much, just because I don't really like guys that are just coming in there and are robots and answer the questions the same every time. Like a Russell Wilson, like a Tom Brady. He showed real emotion in there, and he showed how competitive he is Yeah, he's had his problems with sulking over losses in his career. So that's kind of the thing that you'd like to see him improve more. But people are talking about that his locker room is going to see this and not take it well. And I don't know if that's true, but he...
Every single one of them is just as frustrated.
Yeah, and
I mean
the other guy,
I don't think they're really
gonna
care. They probably dislike the media just as much. I mean, I don't think that that's gonna make a difference.
No, and if it does, I don't think if there is a guy in his locker room like that, I don't think that they would have liked him before he did that, because I don't think that's something that you just automatically don't like someone for. He's Cam Newton. He's going to be Cam Newton. That's what he is. Yeah, he should have handled it better, but he did what he did. I mean, it happens, and I'm sure we're going to have a press conference from him in the coming months, and he's probably going to apologize for it, but it was just kind of heat of the moment there.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll get addressed at some point, but I mean, it's by that point, everybody's probably going to have forgotten about it and moved on to the next thing. but yeah, hopefully he refocuses and gets back to work and we see him back, because the game's definitely more fun when he's playing well.
Yeah. And another thing with his teammates, they probably know how competitive he is, and they probably, maybe thought something like that would happen. He does not like losing. He doesn't take losing well, and I don't know a lot of guys that do. And he kind of shows it more in his personality than other guys. And I mean, he does that same thing in wins. He shows it more in his personality than other guys do. So it's Cam Newton.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other Super Bowl thoughts? Halftime show thoughts, anything at all?
kind of want to talk about Aqib Talib. I don't know if you saw the press conference from Roger Goodell on Thursday, but he was talking about getting a new rule in, or I guess it was Friday, a new rule in that if you get two personal foul penalties, you're going to get thrown out of the game. Well, if that would have been the case going into that game, Talib would have been out within the first 10 minutes. I think he was, he was playing Aqib Talib football, and he settled down there at the end. But he was really costing his team there at the beginning, and had the Broncos not won that game, I think he would have been a big reason for that at the beginning. But luckily, he has a great defense around him, and they could recover from the mistakes he was making.
I don't particularly like Aqib Talib for this reason, and T.J. Ward. They seem to get a lot of personal fouls called on them, and for good reasons. It never looks good, but it's like it or not, it became part of the identity of their defense, and it managed to intimidate, if not at least get in guys' other teams' heads, and it works to an extent. You have to think. I mean, Aqib Talib's a really good corner for the most part, but I don't know. I don't like it. Like, that face mask was brutal. The other one was kind of him. I think it was just because he took his helmet off, wasn't it? While still on the field.
Yeah, he was taunting, and he took his helmet off.
Right.
And he got that one for that.
Yeah, but no, that second one. I mean, it was just that vicious face mask. Which, I mean, if you're trying to keep him out of the end zone, that's an effective way of doing it. And I don't know. It's inside when you're inside the 10 or whatever it is. I mean, it's not a 15-yard penalty, so you have nothing to lose. But the guy getting his head pulled around has, you know, a lot to lose, but whatever. Yeah, I don't really appreciate some of the things that they do.
Yeah, I mean, every great defense has those guys, though. Those guys put that intimidation factor in there. So, I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seemed to work for them. So, what can you do?
All right. Well.
All right.
Kind of wraps up the Super Bowl here. So. Do we wanna talk a little bit about Blake Griffin, or should we just go ahead and get our hot picks in here?
Doesn't matter to me. We probably have time for, well, it's up to you.
Well, go ahead and get our hot picks in here and see if we can't get Blake Griffin in at the end of the show here.
All right. Well, then here we go. We have NBA All-Star Weekend. Always fun. First up, we got a 3-point contest featuring Steph Curry, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Chris Middleton, Kyle Lowry, JJ Redick, Chris Bosh, and Devin Booker. Who you like? Is somebody going to take the title away from Steph?
No. I'm going with Steph in this. It's been ridiculous. He's going to shatter the 3-point record that he already owns. And I think he's going to make probably about 25 in at least one round, which the record's 27. So it'll be, it should be fun. I really, really like Devin Booker though. And I think he has a great shot, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people in the contest.
Just for the sake of being different, I'm going to pick Clay, just because why not? Seems like he could get hot for a couple rounds. But yeah, Chris Bosh still shooting the three well, really?
I mean, he's
should have been like, oh, Chris Bosh is here, so we might as well let him do something.
Should have been J.R. Smith in there over him, in my opinion. But I mean, he. I don't know how well he's going to do, but he could do well because he doesn't use his legs too much in the shot, so which I think has a lot to do with winning that contest. Guys get really tired shooting that much in such a short period of time.
Yeah. All right. Next, we got the dunk contest featuring Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, Andre Drummond, and kind of a favorite of yours, Zach LaVine.
Yeah, Zach LaVine, defending champion. I think he's going to win it 2 years in a row here. He, I think, can put on the most spectacular dunks out of everyone in it. And he proved it last year, and I think we're going to see something really crazy from him. I can't even guess, but I'm expecting some really good dunks from Zach. And did they change the format again? Because I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I haven't really looked, but
yeah,
I
have no idea. I just saw who was in it and then went to see, looked at some highlights. but no, yeah, I got to pick LaVine too. He definitely does some ridiculous things. Kind of checked out everybody else. I mean, you know, they're all right, but just don't seem on his level. I am kind of interested to see what Andre Drummond's going to bring. But yeah, you know, that's just kind of a bonus, I guess.
I think we're going to see some very powerful dunks from Andre Drummond. I think that's going to be the key for him to try and win this contest because, I mean, it's very hard for guys that are 6'10 and above to win these contests, and he brings a lot of power.
Right.
So I'm kind of excited to see, like you said, what he brings in this contest.
All right, which brings us to the game itself. going to be Kobe's last one. He was the leading vote getter, of course. He's going to start with Steph, KD, Kawhi, and Russell Westbrook. And then the East is starting Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, LeBron James, Kyle Lowry, and Dwayne Wade. Who do you like in the game?
I'm going to have to go West here, based on the fact that they have the reigning MVP. They have Kevin Durant, they have Russell Westbrook, and I think those three guys could win a lot of games. The East has some really good players, too, of course. I mean, we are talking about the All-Star game. But, I just think that the West has the better superstars in this game. And so I'm going to go the West, win it by about 10 points.
Yeah, just looking at everybody who's on it, on the teams, the West is definitely the deeper team. But I mean, there's a lot of younger guys on the East that you got a lot to look forward to. But right now, all the power's in the West. Got to go West. Who's your MVP?
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really cool to see him just go all out. I mean, guys would let up, but guys would definitely feed him the ball if he was knocking down shots. I can't though. I gotta go Steph just because he's probably gonna have the best game. I mean, he's playing better than anybody else. I mean, I might as well just add this one to the trophy case.
Yeah, I mean, my next choice was KD and followed closely by Steph Curry, but I just went Kobe here because I think it kind of just went with my heart here. I kind of think it'd be a great story for him to kind of end his career like that, and he already owns the most All-Star Game MVPs of a career, and he could just add another trophy to his case. It'd be a great way for him to go out, and because they're not going to be in the playoffs, and I think this is the game that he is really, really going to shine. And I think all the time off between the game is going to do some wonders for him to be able to knock down some threes. And we might see a vintage Kobe dunk, which I'm really hoping that we get to see. So.
Oh yeah. I'm sure he'll get one in. He might have one left in his knees. Those old man knees. All right.
I hope so.
But who's your upset?
My upset is Indiana over Iowa on Thursday night.
You've got to be kidding me.
Is that who you picked?
Yes.
All right. Well, when we've done this, there are the times we've got it right. So it's never happened in the picks before, but now it's happened three times. So yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. All right. You got a hot take?
I do. My hot take is Kobe's going to score 30-plus in the All-Star game. And big reason why he's going to take home All-Star game MVP.
All right. I guess I have a hot take that the NFL is rigged. Peyton Manning should not have won that game with that team. And it makes me mad. So, they just got off easy all year. Makes me so up. So, yeah, it's all fixed.
Well,
that's
I don't
it.
Know about that. But yeah, he missed 7 weeks, still led the league in interceptions. First quarterback to have below a 60 QBR or 50 QBR in the Super Bowl and win. I think he went. The previous were 0-19. So, yeah, there's that.
Yep, super dumb. All right, well, looks like we got through it all. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes.
Yeah, we'll be here next week.
I'm sure we're going to get cut off soon, so.